Father God, Lord, we love you.
Yes.
Lord, we praise your name. Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts, Lord God, understanding all that you have done for us, Lord Jesus. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We ask that you bless this word, Lord, this message for people in their hearts, Lord, to accept it, Father God. And we love you, Lord. And help us to be bold in our service towards you, Lord. Help us to be willing to get uncomfortable in service to you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So today, if you kind of gathered a little bit hints there, I'm going to be talking a little about being uncomfortable, what we're okay being uncomfortable for, what we willingly sacrifice for, and what we don't, what we won't, right? And so this isn't any type of an indictment on any group or person or people, really. It's more of a kind of a call and a reminder of what are we doing, right? We're Christians. We go to church every Sunday. But what are we doing for the kingdom, right? What are we doing in our lives between Sunday night and Saturday night?
Right. Yeah.
What's happening there? And in those days, in those times, away from church, away from the elders and the brothers and people, it's like, it can be hard. Life is hard. Life is uncomfortable. Things happen, right? It knocks us off. We don't know what to do, where to go. So I've dealt with this so much in my life that I feel like, along with like a recovery testimony, because I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict and stuff like that, and I'm, you know, with God's grace and mercy, I've been able to be sober now 14 years. And then again, so it comes back to being uncomfortable. What are you willing to be uncomfortable for, right? Have we suffered and sacrificed for money, respect, status, right? Are we willing to sacrifice for Christ? Are we willing to suffer for Christ? Christ sacrificed himself for us. We should expect to, living in a sinful, fallen world, to be a little uncomfortable out in it, serving Christ, wearing the banner of a Christian. Huh? And so how we move through the world. So we work ourselves to exhaustion, right? For the house, for the car, that's uncomfortable. We starve for the body, that's uncomfortable. We work out in the gym to the point of injury or strain, that's uncomfortable. We lose sleep because of stress, because of work, because of everything else, that's uncomfortable. And that's all for chasing things or maintaining a status or a level or something we feel like we have to have in this life now for everybody looking. And it's kind of it's a cultural thing, right? I mean, it's so baked in to our lives, but we've got to change that. We've got to work to break out of that and start looking for how to serve, how to sacrifice, right? Change. Can we change ourselves to meet the expectations of our Savior the same way we change ourselves to meet the expectations of our peers, of the people around us, right? What have we suffered or sacrificed for the cause of Christ? So I do have a lot of Bible verses in here, and you know, I didn't go through and give all these to Brother Dalton because he's just running around serving and busy and working and everything, and I just didn't want to burden him with that. But I will give a couple of verses here. The first one we're going to look up is 1 Peter 3:18, and we'll move through, and I'll try to kind of take time to slow down to let you look up the verses. But 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." Christ set the example for selfless sacrifice, for the love of the unwanted and the downtrodden. So my question, how to begin a life of sacrifice for Christ, to be uncomfortable for the kingdom? Mark 8:34 through 36, the next one we'll look up. I'll give you a minute to read to get there, but Mark 8:34 through 36. "Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said," these are red letters, y'all, "whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the world but forfeit their soul? See, I don't know about you, but Mark 8 sounds a little uncomfortable. Doing those things in Mark 8 sounds like it could be a little uncomfortable, but we're kind of used to that already in our life. It's about switching up our mind frame, our perspective. We'll get in a minute to switching up our reward expectation, right? So in practice, so switching up our mindset to being uncomfortable and willing to serve and sacrifice for Christ. In practice, this looks like big and small sacrifices, maybe changing friend groups or changing music and media that you consume, anything that doesn't glorify God, or worse, glorifies a worldly culture. But we should expect opposition, absolutely, if we are trying to live for Christ, right? So if we are living for ourselves, and we're good people, anyone you talk to says, that's a good dude right there, man, good family. Works hard, provides, you know, good people, good kids. Heck, he's in church every other Sunday. I mean, stand-up guy, right? So that guy is probably really secure in where he's at and what he's doing. But he's very comfortable in where he's at, just going to church on Sunday morning and then forgetting it the rest of the time. But I'm here to tell you, if that's the way we live, we are not a threat to the devil. He'll just ignore us. Doesn't matter, right? You're not doing anything except for yourself. So when you step out, start to be uncomfortable, start to suffer for the Lord, it's because you now have an adversary who wants to come right at you. So it's not going to be easy, right? It's going to be hard. We should expect opposition, absolutely, if we are trying to live for Christ. If we are living for ourselves, going to church on Sunday, we are not a threat to the devil. When we are willing to be uncomfortable and suffer for Christ, we have evil's full attention. Be ready for adversity and remember, this is Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in high places. And we roll to 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So, again, it's about being willing to be uncomfortable. We're already willing to be uncomfortable in our lives. We do it all the time for things. Are we willing to switch? Are we willing to change up a little bit and start being uncomfortable for the cause of Christ and the kingdom? Amen. So what is the purpose of it being so hard, this adversity and going through this character changing? And I made a note here about character building, right? And God uses all types. See, for some of us, because of our past or because of our, a lot of us, it is our past really, that kind of just won't leave you alone. You can't quite outrun it. You don't know, right, or what people are thinking, or what if they hear about it, or what if they find out about it, or how could God actually use me though? Like, how could I do anything that would be of any value to the Lord, you know? And so, but God uses all types. I mean, just read through the Bible, right? All the heroes were deeply flawed and insecure men. Deeply flawed and insecure men. Yeah. God doesn't need perfect people whose lives are in perfect order. He uses those who are willing to be uncomfortable or suffer or sacrifice for his name, right? And our second sort of and am I moving on this too fast? I told my wife, I was like, I don't know, I may go through this. I have 7 pages, but I may go through it in 18 minutes. Because sometimes they're just like, brrr. So, you know, again, I'm not polished or nothing. I'm just trying to be obedient, man. So, spiritual refinement. So character building is the one, and now spiritual refinement. And I've noticed this in my own life. In a very real way. So many of life's greatest difficulties, and we can all think of a bunch right now that we've all been through or helped somebody go through or anything like that. So many of life's greatest difficulties strip away pride, self-reliance, making sin less appealing, and forcing total dependence on God's grace. So sometimes it's saying, when you're going through the very hardest times, when you're getting kicked around in the world, and you're down and they're kicking you still, right? Even in those times, there can still be a value, a commitment and a sacrifice, for Christ, right? And appreciating God's grace through all of that. It is through this type of suffering that a lot of us learn reliance on Christ in a much deeper way.
Yeah, that's right.
Not just believing in God or Jesus, because even Satan and all the demons believe in him. More so, we learn what it means to trust him. Put our trust in Jesus. Not I just believe in Jesus, I trust in Jesus. What he says, I trust in here, right? What he says, I can take and go live my life by because I trust it, because it's true. So the second thing we're moving into is 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Hallelujah.
I know, hallelujah for that, right? I love that one, man, because I don't know about you, but I'm full of weaknesses. Right. And so that must mean God's power through me must be huge because my weaknesses are massive. Right. And so that just glorifies God's name and his power even more. Right. So 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So it's like, and you think about that, and you're like, man, what if I should check a bunch of different translations to make sure I understand? So I'm suffering in my body, I'm done with sin, right? But it's almost like when you imagine that you are willingly taking on suffering and sacrifice and uncomfortableness in your daily life for Christ's name. Maybe it's people routinely sacrifice sleep, physical health, family time, and peace of mind to climb the ladder and stack dollars. We suffer these things because we see the immediate value. My question is, why are we willing to endure toxic culture and unhealthy lifestyles for temporary comfort or gains, but shrink back from minor discomfort for an eternal king?
Yes.
It's a different reward. Suffering for Christ rarely yields immediate earthly comfort. Instead, it yields eternal glory, spiritual maturity, and deep intimacy with God. I wrote this down. It came to me when I was praying and going through a lot of this, and it was, we all are going to pay a price. We all must pay a price in this life. We will pay for what we pursue. We will pay for what we pursue. And that stuck with me because I've pursued everything and all the wrong things. And I've been led to dead ends and death's door and confinement and every other thing. And only by God's grace and mercy did I ever have a chance to make it out of any of that. And nothing that I ever did or could do that would ever make me worthy of God pulling me up out of that mess and placing my feet up on solid ground. So Romans 8:17. We're going to Romans 8:17 now. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. See, true discipleship means being willing to suffer financial loss, reputational damage, or social isolation if it means obeying God. Philippians 3:8. I love this one. This was great. I came out of my room the other day when I was studying this and putting it together, and I was like, hey, Deanna. I said, did Paul write Philippians from prison? She's like, I think so. And I was like, wow. And I got back to it. So Philippians 3:8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I mean, and he's writing from suffering, from a position of serious discomfort and suffering already. And that's the outlook. all the good things I had in life are garbage compared to the glory I'm going to get to share with Christ in the suffering right now. We cannot serve God and the world. If we are willing to sacrifice for worldly gain but not for Christ, that is our actual master. Another verse. I wrote a little, every time I put a verse in here so I wouldn't lose myself in the chaos of my page. I just write like verse in the margin. So I accidentally read that sometimes. I come down there, I'm like, verse. It's like the teleprompter. Who typed a question mark in the teleprompter? So Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And this is not even toward really anybody but me. Primarily, I'm preaching to myself. But I think it's an important reminder in the culture we live in, the lives we live, and the speed at which we live, and all the different things at our fingertips and all that. I think that it's been on my mind so much lately in the last probably year and a half is just, what am I doing for Christ? What am I doing for the kingdom? I know he did not save me for my own comfortable, cute little life till I die. I know he didn't pull me up out of the miry clay just to set my feet on a comfortable spot to live out my days, right? It's to turn around and say what he's done for me, share what he's done for me, and say what he can do for you. And that's really what this whole message is about. And getting down to closing here pretty soon, and it's not too short, right? It's like 11:45, so maybe 12:10-ish. But shifting our eternal investment, trading the temporary for the eternal. Money eventually fails. Gold and silver will rust or fade away. It'll get left behind no matter what we have. It'll all get left behind. What we suffer for, what we suffer for Christ, has weight in eternity. Right. Matthew 6:19-20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and thieves do not steal. Our ultimate example, Jesus, did not endure the cross for some financial gain or fame or followers. He did it for your redemption. Our willingness to sacrifice for him is a direct response to his sacrifice for us. So that's what I want to leave us with today. It's just as we live our lives and we go through everything, and they're so busy, and a lot of our life, life, what I'm talking about today is not bad things. It's not like these are bad, it's not bad stuff. But there's more. We can't forget there is more. But we can't just get lulled into just getting through our days that we forget that we're supposed to be, we are onward Christian soldiers. We're supposed to be doing something, moving, singing, sharing with your kids. Start something small, something you don't already do, something that will make you just slightly uncomfortable. Maybe it's praying in the fast food restaurants this week when you're getting lunch, running around. Stop and pray. Someone might be watching you. That's okay. Chalk it up. Chalk it up to being uncomfortable for the kingdom. It's a start. It's a thing, right? Show your heart for sacrifice. Show you're willing, right? Here I am. Send me, right? In that spirit. So, I'm just honored and blessed to be able to get up here and share with all you guys. And I love you so much, and I appreciate you all so much. And I admire this church and this body for everything that they do and they always do in service and acts and just the baby bottle thing and then all the offering things. And, you know, it's just always, all the time, who can we help? Where can we go? What can we do? Who can? And that's the spirit. That's the attitude. This church has nursed on this community and loved this community for 50 years. Amen. I mean, it's special. And it's special to me. And so, you know, I'll close on that. But I just want to tell everybody, thank you. What a blessing and an honor it was to get up and share with you. Pastor Paul, would you mind praying and close us out, sir?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for blessing Stevie, Lord, and continuing to use him in a mighty way, Lord. Advance him as you send him out into ministry, Lord, that you will guide and lead and direct him. And Father, just bless him and his family and encourage them. And thank you, Father God, that you got good plans, big plans for this young man's ministry in your kingdom, Lord. Bless him in every area. And Father God, thank you so much for blessing everybody that came out today. Thank you, Father God, that you're going to protect us as we go to our destinations. Let us follow you. Let us be hungry to be obedient to you. And let us be willing to step out of our comfort zone and serve you, Lord, because you have been so good to us. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.